How old were you before when your kids started considering you old? For me, I think Katie and Vince thought 30 was old. I guess the average is once you hit 40, you've really hit the prime time as far as age goes. Barney is really old. But Isaiah, in Isaiah 7 in verse 21, it says that God created men for his own glory. If we were to sit down and read the Bible from cover to cover, the theme throughout that whole writings is the salvation of men through Christ to God's glory. So how in this life can we fulfill our purpose and glorify Him? This morning in our lesson in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, in the very end of the book, Solomon had come to the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear God, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, and obey His commandments, or do His commandments. And in one way, that is how we can fulfill our purpose and glorify God. Jesus in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 and verse 16, He said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus is telling us that through our godly lives, and because of our godly lives, the good works that we do turns the spotlight on the Father. But Paul gives us more specific kinds of instruction in the lives and about the kind of lives that glorify God. And it's based on both gender and chronology. Now, what we will discuss here this evening, while it is more addressed to the men, but the ladies can take heed also, because these characteristics apply to all, not just one. Chronologically, Paul goes in reverse order. You know, the tendency is probably to think of old men as ones who has snow on the roof, or maybe nothing on the roof. Paul only lists two types, old and young. If we no longer fall in the latter category, then we are the former. Our culture, depending on where we live, determines old. If I was to be a kindergarten teacher, I would be really old. What kind of traits would we need as mature individuals? What is those traits that we would need in order to glorify God? One of the first traits that we can think of oftentimes is being sober. Now, that word in today's terminology means an abstinence from alcohol. But it's not just that trait. It also means to be vigilant. It also means to be watchful. This man is the man, the mature individual watches out for his soul. But he's also looking after the souls of those around him, especially his family. If I was to pull out one example in the Bible, the first one that I would go to would be Job. And if you look in Job chapter 1 and verse 5, it said, "And so was so when the days of their feasting had gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them," talking about his children, "because his children would gather together and have a feast or a meal together. They spent time together. But Job, it says he would rise up early in the morning and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of his children. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And so Job was doing this. He was looking after his family. Are we not family sitting here today? Are we not brothers and sisters? Should we not be looking after our families? Men must also be grave. This means to be serious. Have a serious, the word that people like to use sometimes is deportment. I like to use the word dignified or possessing self-respect. When we respect ourselves, we are concerned about how we present ourselves to other folks. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 4, Timothy, when Paul is speaking about elders, he says here about those who are grave, one that rules his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. This gravity, this free from levity of character, he's not wishy-washy. He doesn't bounce around the room. He's not fickle. It doesn't mean, and we have to be clear, it doesn't mean that the individual must be stern all the time. God made our mouths a wonderful way. It goes in both directions. It can go up and it can go down. And God likes to see it up more than down. But we must have a serious heart. This is also the kind of man who keeps his word. He would be the one that you would always see, always at work on time. Always concerned about what's in front of him. Concerned about the work that his boss wants him to do and will do everything he can to please his boss. Isn't God our boss? Shouldn't we want to do and please everything? But he's also the one who will not allow any excuse to keep him from the public services of the church. An example of this is that he does not fail to stop worshiping God. Even if he's traveling. You know, the one thing that I've always marveled about since Vicki and I started attending here, I think in the whole history of the church since 1977, I think there was only one time we did not meet because of weather. Because the members of the congregation have a seriousness about meeting. Now, I don't expect us to be here if there's 3 foot of snow out there. But there's usually somebody here willing to come. We hold fast the faithful words that we've been taught. But the mature individual must also be temperate, to be prudent, the one who follows sound reason, one who is not under the control of passions. When these individuals are tempted, they will not allow themselves to be drawn into something that will cause damage, either to his character or to his marriage, or that would embarrass his family or hurt the church and thus destroy his soul. He's the kind of individual that when they're provoked that they won't lash out. Many, many years ago when Vicki and I were stationed in Japan and some of my friends would come over, they would pick at me to try to get me mad. And I would get angry, but I would sit on my hands. I learned also to do that when the dentist was drilling in my mouth, to sit on my hands. Because it seemed to take an awful lot of Novocaine to make me numb, and all I wanted to do was wrap my hands around his throat. In Proverbs 14 and verse 8, Solomon, he wrote these words, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The folly of fools is deceit." See, if we're not temperate, we deceive ourselves. We build ourselves up in this false cocoon of protection. But the mature individuals must also have a sound faith. The mature individual understands the Bible because he spends his time in it. He studies it. He meditates on it. The Psalms 1 and verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." You know, it was easy, and it still is easy today, because we have so many that is trying to get the church into the 21st century, but it's always been that way. When there are those who have come up with ideas outside of the teaching because it sounds good, the ones who are sound in faith do not get caught up in these things because they have the correct understanding of God's Word. They would never allow themselves to be blown off course. Paul warned the brethren in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. He said, "Then once that we henceforth are be no more children, we are mature." It says, "So they are tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." See, there's a lot of things that we look at and that we think, well, what's the harm in that? What is it hurting? It doesn't say anywhere that we can't do it. But the pure man, the mature individual, needs to be characterized by Paul's statement in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. "Speaking the truth in love, they grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." See, there's the key. In love. Brings us to the course that a mature individual should glorify God in charity. I'm not talking giving to the Salvation Army or to goodwill. I'm talking love. Albert Barnes commented this on this word, and I really like it. He says, "An old man should evince love for all, especially for those who are good. He should have overcome at this time of life all the fiery, impetuous, envious, wrathful passions of his early years, and his mind should be subdued into sweet benevolence to all mankind." That's love. We should not have that hardness of heart. We should have the soft end. He is completely opposite in the spectrum that Solomon spoke of in Proverbs 25 and verse 28. "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." You see how exposed that individual is without charity. How defenseless they are without charity. And then finally, Paul gives the advice of patience. By this I mean that he does not complain or allow the difficulties in life to cause him to overreact. I know as young parents, and at times our children, and even as we get older, our children, sometimes our patience is stretched to the very limits. I think everyone who's a parent understands exactly what I'm saying. But it's not just those, it's even those around us. You know, at times we come across people who know just what buttons to push. We have people around who knows just how many toothpicks to put on the camel's back before it breaks. Friends, when we have our health, when we have our family, we have everything. And if we have the patience, regardless of what happens within our family, or what happens to our health, or even our finances. Our faith in God will keep us secure. It will not shake that faith. It will not be the excuse we use to forsake Him and to keep us away from our spiritual duties. Again, Job fits the bill. Everything that happened to Job in chapter 1 to his family. In verse 22 it says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." But if you look up a few verses ahead of that in verse 10, or I'm sorry, a little bit past that in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, you know, his wife wanted him to curse God and die. And maybe Job felt like doing this, that. Not cursing God, but just put me out of my misery. But he said, "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job sinned not with his lips." He had that deep, abiding faith. Sure, he was confused. Sure, he had an extensive conversation with God and with his friends. A man who dreaded everything in his life to glorify God and obey God. And then all the tragedies of life just dumped onto his head. But now the young men, what kind of behavior can our young people exhibit to glorify God? Again, they must be sober-minded. We use that hyphenated word, sober-minded. We must, in other words, be discreet. We must be temperate. We must be abstinent. And we must be watchful. This includes many things. Our young people, our teenagers and the like, they're bombarded from every direction in this world where information and everything travels at the speed of light. Our very first computer was a Tandy from Radio Shack. And that was probably the only thing where I could actually type faster than that thing could figure. And I only had two fingers that knew how to type. You couldn't change the font. You couldn't change the script. You couldn't do a whole lot with it. And today, you can just pull out your phone and at your fingertips know anything and everything there is to know about anything. Our young people, when I sit there and watch my granddaughter, my 13, 14-year-old granddaughter sit there and text, I'm kind of like, it's like a machine gun going off, and I'm still looking for the first letter. These temptations are all around them, and our young people need to be aware of these things. They should be steady in their behavior, superior in their sensual temptations, and be constant in the exercise of every part of self-rule, controlling their own selves. There are a lot of things that will cause us to lose control. In Romans 6 and verse 13, Paul gives a warning here, "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And those who are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." We look at young people in the Bible. You look at men like David. Little boys who had great responsibilities on their shoulders. But David, as a young boy, was never tempted like Joseph was as a young man. In Genesis 39, in verses 7 through 10, Joseph, who was sold off into slavery and ended up in Potiphar's household, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused, saying, 'How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her or to be with her." You see, here was a man who was a very young man who was doing everything in his power to maintain self-control. And he should also, in all things, show himself a pattern of good works, rather merely teaching others. Young individuals should show a pattern of good works. This was demonstrated yesterday by our young people going out and helping find gifts for those in need. I know we have young people in our congregation who has been out there helping the homeless and caring for them. This is the pattern of good works. In writing to Timothy, Paul suggested specific ways to be a good example in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Or he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And how was he to do that? Both in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in purity. See, in all those things, people can see it right from the very beginning. They know exactly who you are. It says that young men should not show corruptness in doctrine, compromising principles, even when they're in a hostile environment. Yeah, I told a story several times of a young man. He was getting ready to go off to college, and the preacher had pulled him aside and had talked with him and told him that he was going to get ridiculed because it was not an environment that was conducive to Christianity. And the young man told the preacher, "Don't worry, I'll be fine." And when the young man come back for the summer and the preacher saw him, the preacher asked him, he said, "Well, how did it go?" He said, "Oh, it went great. I've got tons of friends." He said, "Really?" And the young man said, "Yes, I have a lot of friends." The preacher says, "Well, do they know you're a Christian?" The young man said, "I never brought it up." Principles in a hostile environment. And yes, maybe the young man, maybe because of his goodness, maybe he didn't compromise his principles, but neither did he share them. When we look at the company that we keep, how after a certain amount of time we become comfortable with these things. I'm sure with those of us who are younger than 40 years old don't remember what we were subjected to, us older ones, in the commercials in the early 60s and 50s. They were really tame. Today on these commercials, you find what you would have to go into a private theater back in my day to see. Daniel was a great example of one who would not allow evil communications to corrupt him. In Daniel 1, in verse 8, it says, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." But Daniel wasn't the only one. There were three other Hebrew youths who would not bend. We know them by their word just left my mind. We know them by the names that their captors gave them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Babylonians. In Daniel 3, in verses 16 through 18, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They would not allow the evil communications to corrupt them. We must also have a good sense in interacting with one another. Gravity. They must have the good morals. Have a serious attitude in our work ethics, in worship, and in spiritual service. You know, of all the people that Paul knew, and in his letters he names about 100, Timothy tops, was tops in this characteristic. In Philippians 2, in verses 19 through 21, Paul said of Timothy, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Here's the compliment. For I have no one like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's high praise for a young man. I have no one like-minded like him. For all seek their own, not the things which are in Christ. Timothy would naturally care for their state in which they are. You know, sincerity is synonymous with purity and is the opposite of corruption. And Paul desires that we may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Philippians 1 and verse 10. Nathanael was a sincere man. In John chapter 1 and verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming at him, and he said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Sincere man. They almost always must be of sound speech. Speech that cannot be condemned. Use those healthy words. Godly man, a godly woman, avoids the temptation to use foul and dirty language. But they also refrains from using the innuendos and euphemisms that we see so prevalent today. You know, there was one radio talk show host that talks about finances, and I always admired him until he was constantly using a certain term that I found offensive. And in everyday speech, most people don't think anything of it until you sit down and actually understand what words he's substituting with. First Corinthians 6 and verse 20, Paul gives us the reason why we should behave in such manners. Because he says, For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And the reason we do that, Paul says, which are God's, he gave us both. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. Young people should strive to become mature. And the mature people should always strive to become more mature, to be seasoned. You know, you throw a piece of green wood in a fire, all you're going to get mostly is smoke. You're not going to get a whole lot of heat out of it. But you throw in a good piece of seasoned wood, and you're going to be warm, because it is going to give you the warmth from it. Don't be smoke. be the heat. Mature. Be seasoned. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity tonight to obey the gospel. To repent and confess and to be baptized for the remission of sins, as God wants all men to come to repentance. If you are a child of God, and you see that you need to make improvements in your life, or there are some things in your life that you need to repent of, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Or maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. For whatever reason, we want to offer you the invitation tonight as together we stand and we sing.